sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey sword, monkey sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Perth's Premier Podcast.
Only, only, only one worth listening to.
Monkey Sword Fight with me, your host Jordan Patrick, and my co-host Mr. Michael Dots.
Word with dots, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Ooh.
Stop treating people right, baby.
Tidy. Also joined as per usual, Andy Mack on the ones and twos.
What's happening?
Big man. Joined once again by Barkwright.
Yo.
How are you, Squire?
Very well, thank you.
Good stuff, man. Happy, happy back on.
Yeah, man, cheers for having me. Good. Yeah, it feels good being back. Thanks so much.
We'll get around talking to you. We're going to go through our usual features.
Let's set the table first. We're a little buzzing because we just finished watching the World Cup.
We'll try and get to that. We've got sports coming up.
Yes.
We've got Broad and all coming up. All your usual favourites. Like I said, we're going to talk to Barkwright a bit about more up-and-coming events in the music. The official release of the EP as well is out and about now.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
So we'll come round. We're going to go for feedback this week.
Yeah.
1K downloads, official.
That's right.
Officially hit that 1,000 downloads mark since we switched from bumpers onto Podbean.
Thank you, guys.
So, yeah.
That's cool, man.
Buzzing. I said on my Facebook, it means a fuck lot to me, Andy, and Mike. Like, see, we all work, mostly Andy, work hard as fuck on this podcast. But no, man, it means a fucking world. People have been saying really nice things. Yes. Roddy Bader shouted at me from his car.
I've remember seeing that on Facebook, actually. That was funny.
Buzzing, man, absolutely buzzing.
Did you just say, so that's cool. So, like, when I was here before, I'm sure I was the 100th like.
Yeah.
Breaking all kinds of records.
Now you still need to bring back Alex for any fucking milestone episodes.
So I also got screamed at from the car. I was coming to my house. Someone was driving down the road and screaming at the car. They just called me an asshole, though. They nothing to do with the podcast. It was an asshole.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was to do with the podcast.
Oh, yeah. a little more feedback.
Yeah.
It was on the video that we put up, just a promo video that we do every week. And Stephen Tosh commented, "Love that Mike talks so much about being old, but still dresses like he's 15. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but I'm going to take it as well.
So in the photo we're talking about, we had on a red top, red basketball shorts. Yeah. This week he's sitting in a New York Giants vest with his baseball cap backwards as well. Actually, fuck, wait a minute.
We're going to get a photo. We'll put a photo up at the end anyway. We're going to take a photo, and we'll post it up on the...
There you go.
I realized I was the only one at the table without a backwards cap on, so...
Right. Oh, we're all hatted up.
I've nicked one from Mike's extensive collection.
Ali wrote, because Mike is old and he dresses like he is 15, it's cool because he's got 3 to 5 more years and then it starts getting creepy. So, thank you, Ali. At least I have 3 to 5 more years. But what does a dad, what's he supposed to dress like? What does a 29-year-old man supposed to dress like?
Like, I'm not going to lie, I can kind of chime in here a wee bit. I feel, or I have felt, slightly, I don't know if the word's conflicted or not, because of how, my casual wear is the same as what I'll be wearing when I'm going to the pub and that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's like different.
Alex, we did a gig on Friday and you turned up in fucking joggies, mate.
And
then you went and home and got changed.
That's
But that's so, like, I don't know if there's like a bit in there. It's like, Ken, maybe I should start, you know, dressing like a man. I don't know if it's that same thing there. I don't know. You're comfortable, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's just shit.
I go from these mad extremes, and I've got like 6 black t-shirts, 6 white t-shirts, but also my going out shirts consist of this nice wee green but loud paisley number. And then I was out shopping on Saturday for a party. I've gone a few weeks, and I bought a nice blue and white floral pattern shirt, and I'm like, I'm gonna fucking wear that. I'm too old to give a fuck what people think.
Well, what about like when you are performing? Do you maybe want to have some joggies on just because it's comfortable? If you're moving around on stage, you want to have some.
I mean, in all honesty, when I started getting into it, I really didn't pay too much attention to it, and then as the kind of time went on, yeah, man, if I'm inside and it's roasting, I'll try and wear shorts, like, yeah, totally, man, totally.
Like, boiling on the stage as well, like, sweat.
Yeah.
The sweat was coming off you on Saturday night, man. We come off the stage, I was like, patting him on the shoulder, like, I was like, bro,
I played in a band for about 2 years, and throughout that time, I gathered the name for myself as the sweatiest man in rock and roll. Didn't matter where the stage was, like, that heat fucking hits you and you're done.
Was that your promo? The sweatiest man in rock and roll. Jordan Patrick.
That was the name of our EP. The sweatiest man in rock and roll.
And Mike, I need to get you in to do some voiceovers for some promo, bro, definitely.
Oh, I'm so down for that. I'm trying to hear.
Straight.
I looked into it, but they want you to have a reel. I need to put together a reel. I'm going to put some of these videos that I put up on our Facebook page, and if you want me to do some stuff, definitely. I'll do it for free. I'm bad. So I'll do all that. I'll put on a reel and send it off to them. I'm able to be like, hey, yeah, we want you to talk over some shit.
I think I've been telling you for ages, man, your tones are half the reason people listen. Here's what I hear you say, things like, say, milkshake. Say it a bit smoother. Come on, put some
milkshake. Who was saying about Manhattan specials? I think, was it Rachel that was saying she was like, Mike kept saying Manhattan special and it sounded dreamy. But I made Manhattan specials. Do we remember what a Manhattan
special? Is this like the iced coffee or the carbonated
coffee? Carbonated coffee. I made some the other day. Very good.
Yeah?
Very, very good.
I've heard there's a carbon shortage going on.
There is. It's affecting the crumpet sales, too.
Is that legit?
What? Crumpets?
I was going to say, there's a beer shortage, but Mike's like, yeah, man, then crumpets.
That would have been the manly thing to say, yeah, the beer shortage, but no.
Crumpets.
Bro. I saw Piers Morgan talking about it this morning, so. You don't like Piers?
Crumpets, bro.
Also, a little, not really feedback, but Dan, you know, my friend Dan, who we squashed a beef with.
Okay. Right?
I don't know if I mentioned this before, but you always say he looks like Shane McMahon, but did I say that Dan used to wrestle?
No, he didn't.
I didn't. All right. Dan was a wrestler in high school. Quite an accomplished wrestler as well. So maybe that's where he gets his Shane McMahon physique and looks from.
Man, like, this guy is a spitting double of Shane McMahon. He's fucking young Simba.
We'll put a picture of Dan up on the Facebook. He'll appreciate that.
Young Simba. Well, we'll get into them. Like, so we've got our man Barclay back on again. Our good luck charm, apparently.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's cool. Nice.
Pep's only podcast.
Only one worth listening to. That's all I had. No, just, you know.
Indirect shots for the whole
time. Shots nonetheless.
Potato's right there. There's no problem. Potato gunshots, bro. So, since we last had you, man, the EP's come out.
Yes. I managed to get some hard copies. I got it up on Spotify, and it's up on Apple Music and iTunes as well.
Nice one, man.
So, yeah.
No love for Tidal?
Huh?
No love for Tidal?
No.
I'll take a CD. It's cool.
So, will I do the whole thing? So, There Will Be Blood. Homegrown, Scottish, Perthshire, made, bred, sent out. I don't care how else to say it than that.
DIY.
Yeah, it doesn't come any more fresh than that.
Produced by the one and only Andy Mack.
Oi, oi.
Yes.
Like, what was it you said before? Was it Dope Beats High? Is that what you said a few weeks ago?
Dope Beats High.
Dope Beats High.
Bro, I talk a lot of shit.
Sounds like
if our fans are going to listen to you, talk fucking gold, man.
You need to have like a, you know how certain producers have a drop within their music so you know it's them?
Oh, wait, I've always done that.
Yeah,
I was going to say, this is I was going to say for the fucking DJ Khaled, another one.
Another one.
There's definitely a Macapella sound. Just as that, because I've noticed you've been doing more clips on your Instagram as well, bro.
I've said this for years. So I remember I bought your solo EP a few years back.
God, that's long.
And fucking it is, man. It's got this fucking light feel, but at the same time that boom.
Every time
that drum hits, you're like ah.
Boom back.
Boom
boom back. That's like one of the no discussion. That's like the kind of like the back of house. Ken, it's not called No Discussion in my head, it's called Boom Bap. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like the song that is, yeah.
Do you know what got me, man, was like you say, when you last came on, Andy sent us like the rough cut, and I thought, man, this sounds fucking beast. And like you say, I don't have a musical ear, I was like, what fucking else can I do to this? And then, like you say, once you dropped the thing, like, because I knew we were getting the copies, I saved it on my Spotify and I was blaring it in the car, I was like, fuck! Just like the extra tweaks and that, man.
Yeah, because you will have listened, with having listened to the first one a few times, you probably would have really noticed that. Because the same for me, it was a couple of, I think in between the time where it was camera, it was finished, but I didn't get anything done with it. There was a couple of weeks, but I didn't do anything with it in that time. You know, I kind of sat on it, and then when I did come back to listen to it, just exactly how you've described, I felt exactly just like proud. You know, I'm going to stand behind this. This is like, yeah,
talk. Sure, yeah.
Last season, there was a couple of bits, man, where you've obviously just redone the vocal slate, and I was like, I can't remember what song is on this bit, but you almost just fucking roared it.
Shots fired.
Oh man, yeah. That's, and it just was like, because I remember listening to that first, and I was like, fuck, that's hard as bastard, man. And then I realised it after you'd done it on the EP, and all that.
Yeah.
I got a little bit frightened. I had to turn my car down a little bit. I was like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I could talk about that song briefly just now, because
yeah, go for it, man.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that like folk would be like, oh, you done this track about this guy and that, and it's like, yeah, I did, I, but ultimately I didn't do that for him, or it's about him, but it's not about him. Do you know what I'm saying? It's about me, and it's about the therapeutic process that came from writing that. Now, I haven't actually performed it. Now, if I was wanting to slate a guy, that's what I would be doing.
Mm.
It, what came from that there, because like I say, I don't know if I touched on it the last time, like the process that comes from the writing itself. So you'll sit down, and if we'll use angry as the example for talking example, right? And if you're angry and you sit down and you say to yourself, I'm angry, and then that's not a very long piece of paper.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? But yeah, if you're able to be honest with yourself, and that's huge, that's the biggest thing right there, is being able to be honest with yourself so that you can why and why and why and why and why. And it goes deep, man. And once you can, if you understand, if you allow yourself to understand or go through this process like I've managed to. Mm. In different cases as well, different songs.
Well, you see, you've got this poetry therapy is another one that is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Man. It's like, you're not angry, but you're sad almost. And it's like understanding what's going on behind the scenes to actually put it down in a bit of paper.
Yeah.
You always hear, you always hear, like, when I listen to interviews with rappers, like other rappers call each other sensitive. Do you feel like you need to be sensitive, not necessarily in a cuddle way, but need to be sensitive where you feel things more than other people to put that in your music, you think?
I think that that's a very interesting question. That's got a couple of levels on it. For me, first of all, it depends.
This is coming from the man that does work with thoughts. So
yeah, I mean, I dig it. I mean, the thing, so first of all, you're dealing with the kind of person, because everyone's different, so on and so forth. And you know what I mean? I could say something to you and mean it in one way, and then you could take it a different way, knowing that I meant it in a different way or not, so on and so forth. And because of this, so using rappers as the example as we have here, I think it's difficult because the guys, the word plays, the metaphors, the sort of wordsmithing in general, it's so open to interpretation anyway, that if someone's being accused of being sensitive, then it depends on, it's all about I suppose context is huge
because you said, man, you can be sensitive as that, or you're acting like a bit of a bitch, or you can be sensitive to the fact that you will just react to what people are saying and understand
that's it. What I mean, like feeling it, you being able to feel it and not being able, not acting like a bitch, but just feeling it, I'm going to put this down on paper because I feel that way. So I may feel the same way, but I might not be able to get as creative with it as you would be.
I think my answer to that there is definitely, I expected the peak of my cap to be there just then. No, my answer there is definitely, I would agree, because I am a sensitive guy, because I wrote that track that we just discussed because of something that I saw from him. And like I say, like at the start of the track, I'll say you want to talk some metaphorical and indirect bullshit, because that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Metaphorical and indirect bullshit.
It was a bit different to your average diss track, in very quotes, air quotes. Because you did say, it was like, look, you can come back if you want to.
Yeah.
I'm no bother. This isn't what I'm trying to get into. I'm just telling you, this is how I feel.
Yeah, this is what it's led to. This is the point that it's reached, if you will. Okay, I know what I'm saying.
I've nothing more to say on the matter. Yeah. I've said everything I want to say.
That's it. Head back if you want to.
It's good, and it's a good move if you've not performed it, because it's probably one of my favorite. It's probably my favorite track on the EP.
Nice one, man.
Because it's the one that I like to listen if I'm in the gym or if I'm having a shite day at work and I'm going for a fucking angry stroll. Ken, just blare it in my ears, because it's one of those tunes that everyone's got a handful of songs you listen to if you're angry. Mike likes his 6ix9ine when he's pissed off.
I like that song.
I mean, the dude who did the hard copies for me when I was, because I was kind of messaging him, like we were talking back and forth whilst the process was ongoing, sort of thing, and he messaged me. He said, I'm sure I forward the message to you. He's like, oh, shots fired, I'll start a fucking mosh pit, bro. Like, I was like, yes, man.
It is, man. It's just before the match. I'm saying, that's the moment you appear, because you've got quite a unique voice yourself. Even just your speaking voice is quite recognisable. Do you know what I mean?
We'll get me and Mike to do some voiceovers there.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
That's fine, guys. Nobody bothered.
Interesting conversation.
I'm just a boring, dulcet Scottish tone.
We'll talk about madness, you know. Anyway, that's enough of that.
How's the EP been received? How's the feedback for it?
Yeah, I mean, all the guys that have went out of their way to come and say something to me, like, it's meant a lot to me, because a fair bit of feedback in that respect, you know, like, and obviously it was kind of, I don't want to be cliche, but it was kind of overwhelming, man, to see how many folk were just kind of like, folk that I know, folk that I don't know so well, folk that know what they're talking about, folk that maybe because of music don't know what they're talking about so well, but they still say, so you see the different people saying the different things. And then it's quite funny as well when you get people that you just would not expect, sort of, and I mean this with all due respect, but like, crawling out from the woodwork, ready to get behind you, knew that they can, you're alright. So this guy's a fucking rapper, alright? Is he alright? He's quite good, is he? Aye, alright.
You got a street team,
alright? Well, yeah. That's the case, bro. But like, do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
If it was 10 years ago, it would be the guys that were telling me to put my fucking trousers up, Marshall, and all this, bitch. You know what I'm saying? So that's something I was going to touch on when we were talking about the clothing at the start, because we were talking about how we dress and so on and so forth, and I'm willing to put some wager on the fact that you've dressed that way for your whole life, yeah?
For most of it, yeah.
The jeans have gotten a little bit skinny.
Yeah. Totally.
I remember when I was a fucking, when I was a mojo, and like you say, man, pull your trousers up, what are you wearing fucking Converse for, you're making me bastard. Now these people are spending 60 quid on white Converse.
Exactly.
They're all rocking jeans with a rips in them, and they're all rocking baggy jeans and baggy hoodies, and I'm just like, fuck you,
Well, I mind seeing a meme a few years ago now. It was just like summarized the entirety of the situation. It was just a picture saying, it was like a little skateboard upside down and then a little world, and it was like, dear world, you're welcome. Skateboarding.
Even lasses nowadays, man, and they're like, they'll go out dressed goth like. Because that's the dress that they've bought, whereas 10 years ago, you're fucking minky god bastard.
Almost like primitive, I suppose if we look at it in a better light, we could say, look at how Perth has evolved in the last 10 years or
that's
so.
Right,
the people of Perth have evolved to the point where you don't get openly ridiculed in the street for how you dress.
That's like, well done, 10 years ago, have you seen someone dressed a certain way, right, about a skateboard. But nowadays, you can't tell the difference.
Totally.
Because I've seen guys dressed like me. I dress like a 40-year-old. Like I say, I'm white t-shirts all the way.
But then the other side of that coin is you'll get guys down at the skate park sometimes. I mean, I'm not really one to talk. I was there today for the first time in about 2 years. But you get the guys, and the other side of the coin, I was saying, the guys with the trackies and the Burberry high mask, Ken, and shred a skateboard, man.
I've seen skaters dressed like total Neds were back in 2K6, man.
But they'll be rippers, shredders.
But it's so much more open now. It's a lot of folk going into the world's not as inclusive nowadays. It seems like all the cultures have become appropriated, so to speak. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. I'm just
saying that, man, in the last 2 weeks I came in, the last time I put on a pair of jeans.
Yeah,
I'm fucking boiling. What's with the weather?
Yeah, we got a summer finally.
Yeah, oh man, yeah, honestly, man. What was it, Thursday last week? 30 odd degrees.
Yeah, boiling. As you see the Snapchats just filling up with folks like the thermometers and that, Ken. The folk who work in the kitchens are all just like 10 degrees above everybody else.
I walked through Asda about 5 o'clock and I looked like a Burns victims, you know, up at PRI. Just a bunch of pink Scottish people in shorts. Come on, I didn't notice though. The only thing I noticed, it was so like it was the epitome of
Wait, time out, that's pink Scottish people in shorts, so can we agree that that's the title of the episode? Cool.
But I was like,
that's the front runner at least.
I was going to football training, right, so I was going to buy water. So I walked through the booze aisle to go towards the water. The beer aisle was empty.
Yeah.
The water aisle was full. I'm roasting my probably got Asda, get some water. Nah, fuck tenants, mate. One kiss.
It's funny, whenever the temperature gets above like 19 degrees, that there's no meat, all the barbecue stuff goes flies out the door. Yeah. And that's it. Everyone's
it's the
out.
Fastest you'll ever see Scottish people moving is when they realise it's 20 degrees out and they can bust their shorts out and get pitched on a Tuesday afternoon.
Did you see this video that the BBC One, I think it was, like, commissioned the video of the farmer, and he's just like, it's farmer in the field, he's like, it's fair hot out here, like, I didn't care if I'm going to make it home, it must be about 14 or 15 degrees. Like, picture of a cow, like, get it to him to Martha, tell her there's a Scotch egg in the fridge. Out today, Tom Thursday.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't mind the heat, but I just can't be going about my day-to-day business when it's this hot outside.
Man, like, well, I was totally about to concur with you earlier when you said, I don't think I've put a pair of trousers on in about 2 weeks, aye. No, and the closest I came was Saturday night, and I went and changed the shorts and the trackies, aye.
I walked into the Thames on Saturday, and I was like, because it was rammed full.
See, I don't mind when it's really, really hot. I'm not going to complain because we get enough shitty weather the other, you know, 11 months of the year. But, like, I don't want to hear you... I don't want to hear anybody complain about it. Not you guys, but I'm saying I don't want anyone complain about it.
Like, is that like an opener in a conversation in the street?
Yeah, it's, like, oh, it's too hot. Nah, don't complain about rain then.
Get my too hot sandwich because you've got a fucking duffel coat on him.
Don't want to hear about it. But also, when the summer comes, the kids get out of school. So you got a bunch of wee shits. I can't believe I just said wee. little shits running around. You got all the kids everywhere. Was your son excited when he came out of school? Because my daughter didn't give a shit at all.
Well, see, hang on, man. Like, he was going on holiday.
Oh.
He's away to Spain for 3 weeks. So he was in this weird, doesn't care what was going on state.
Yeah.
So we're like out playing football and he was running himself ragged, 25 degrees outside. He's like, let's play more football. I'm like, why don't we just sit down and have some fluids? And he's like... And then he went to the cinema with his mum that night, and I got a text off of his mum, they seen the new Jurassic Park film. Apparently he'd had a meltdown in the cinema because the dinosaurs were dying.
What?
He's just like, Kevin's just like, came when kids are that excited.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, I was speaking to the next scene, he was like, he was laughing and joking, then he was greeting, then he was cuddled in, then he was laughing and joking again, and then the film walked out, he's like, I was alright, eh? And everyone's just looking at him like, you fucking what? So he was pretty psyched. But in a, like, you know that way where kids don't know what emotion they're feeling. It's like Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
When they're just like, all they become schizophrenics for 24 hours. Just
emotionally intense.
Oh, man.
I just get anger because we're going away on Sunday and it's kind of like, how many days? And when I don't, because I don't say zero and like we're leaving right now, it's, why can't we pack down? It's like, oh, hold the fuck on. We wouldn't even be going.
You don't remember doing that when you were younger.
No, I didn't pester my parents the way they pestered me. Like, they push it out there. They're ready to argue. And I'm like, oh, I'm your dad. You can't talk to me like that. Are you crazy?
But, yeah, actually, yeah, man. Like, my boy doesn't so much argue with me, like, but, man, he gets wide from time to time. I'm like, I'm telling you, man, if I just said that to your granny, I'd have been belted.
I said that, too. And Bill Cosby, I know he's not the guy we thought he was.
Are you about to do a parental example with the sentence Bill Cosby?
Yes.
All right, okay, fine on. But I'm interested to see where this goes.
He said that his kids would always say, oh, but grandma's like this, like his parent, his mom. Oh, but grandma's like this. And he was like, that's not... Your grandma, that's not a nice person. She's just trying to be nice now because she's trying to get into heaven. That's it.
Wait, I bring this up every time I'm at my mom and dad's. Right? So I was staying with my mom and dad for a little while and I had the wee man up. So I was like, got him in his jammies, brushed his teeth. Right, go and say night to your granny and granddad before you go to bed. And he's been upstairs for about 10 minutes. I'm like, the fuck's he doing? Really? Comes upstairs with a fucking chalk ice. I was like, where'd you get that? He goes, granny gave me it. I'm like, mom! And she's like, I'm his granny, I'm his mom. He goes, well, he's staying here, I'm still trying to be his fucking dad.
I know. I try to do the same thing because when we go over there and my mom wants to spoil them rotten. And I'm like, mom, we need to bring this back. I understand you want to spoil them. You only see them two or three times a year. But we need to rein this in a little bit.
But she's just heating on, by the way.
No, it's roasted in here.
Open that door up.
It is pretty hot. But my mom listens, so I don't want to kill her too much. She does a great job with the girls. And hopefully she'll look after them while I get drunk in the yard.
See, now, Mike's just... I remember last time when Mike went over to America, it turned on me. It was beef with Dan. You were Team Dan when you were over there.
Oh, it's going
to
happen again. Yeah. Oh, no, it's all good now.
I was going to say, or is it not? Are you just not telling me?
Well, I'm going to get started up just to get a good video. And then
he's got a FaceTime each other. He's going to get Dan if you're slating me.
He's going to cut a promo, as they say in wrestling.
Oh, no, not Shane O'Mac. We're a bit off topic there, so
we are.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
We were talking to Alex. When if you're Joe Rogan on this show. So I've seen you've been rehearsing a lot with the band, the boys in the band.
Mm.
One of them was meant to come here, couldn't make it tonight. So
yeah.
Another event up and coming. Well, let's talk about the event you were plugging the last time.
We need to give a shout out to Macapella for making it down. The guy pulled me right out. So what happened originally was I got a late notice phone call. Say, Alex, the band's pulled out. Can you do a slot Saturday? It's the Carlaways EP launch party in the Twa Towns. And I said, aye, before I confirmed with the band. So because he'd already been let down and it was short notice, and I thought to myself, Ken, there's six of us, and Ken, I'll be fine. Regardless, Ken, it's a side project. That's the point. It's the way it wasn't like Ken, the CXC5 and Bark, right? It was never going to be the full band, so it was like, right, I'll do it. But then, unfortunately, the two guitarists and the percussionist were like, nah, can't do it. So I was like, Andy, man, please help me, man. He was like, yeah, bro, no worries. So that was that. I think we had, what did we have, one jam?
I think he phoned me on the Wednesday and he's like, can you play a gig on Saturday? Or Friday it was. Was it? Was it Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
And it's just like, cool, we can do that. Went down to practice on Thursday night, a couple hours.
Made
some notes and then turned up to the gig with a little sheet of paper that had all the songs on it and the chord progression, so I wouldn't let this man down.
It was absolutely quality, man.
I even recorded the practice so I could listen to it back and made sure that it was.
That's the tip you gave me.
I'm such a fucking loser.
That's what I was just about to say. The thing that, like, can you talk about having, like, kind of as a performer, and I know as well that would be your first performance in maybe a couple of years, is that right?
It's been about a year and a half.
Definitely big props for helping the boys. So it was a support slot for the Carlaways, they've been a band for a while, the young lads, and they've been gigging, but they've not actually recorded and released anything. So that was them getting that underway, and it was a huge success for them. And a shout out to anyone that was there or anyone that kens them guys, because it was a great night. We didn't have the percussionist though. That was like, I was like building up to like, yeah, it was good. But we're looking, I think, to definitely start. Well, I say start. We're going to be looking to do more side project band sort of things where the likes of Andy, because the guy's proficient in more than one instrument. I think that's the right way to word that.
Multi-instrument.
Yeah, I mean, so we'll give you the example, the talking example for me to really put that into perspective is, after our set list that was six songs long, so Andy has contributed to six songs that he's played like once before. On stage, second time playing them. Now the final song that we did, it was the seventh, and we hadn't actually, as a group, practiced that, so it was supposed to be myself and the bassist. And the Mark, the bassist, he said the progressions, and he's like, Nate, what? I can't remember what it was, but it's got a seventh in it, which means it's a bastard to play for me. And maybe Andy's like, nah. Anyway, so I do the bars, and the bars come out at a rate that is, you can't really describe it anything less than fucking fire. So I finished my bars, and this is like, again, unrehearsed, unjammed, not like totally improvised sound, other than myself and the bassist Andy's coming in. So what happens after myself and because there's a collective sound being made, you know. Mm-hmm. And once I'm finished, so I mean, it gives me a quick second to sort of take in what's going on. These guys have gone into their own like funk flow thing that's going on here. The bassist, the guitar, Andy kind of standing next to each other. Just fucking having it, and that's like that's the kind of that there is the. The embodiment of what I'm just trying to describe, you know, the arguably it wasn't. I don't know if it would have been the best part of the set, but it was definitely for me the purest, if that makes sense. Because the entire set was improvised. It's our songs and we do it in our way, but the timings and the different fills, because we didn't have the guys there doing their usual roles. You know what I'm saying? So we had to. It was quite improvised, but with that being the case, that was the bit that was 100% improvised, and it was totally. Well, maybe not 100%, but definitely up in the high 90s. Do you know what I'm saying?
Just to throw a couple of hangs on that, it's actually really easy for me when you've got somebody who's as proficient, as really good a bass player as what Mark is.
Yeah.
And also somebody like Tim on the keys. Well, Tim's an absolutely fantastic keyboard player.
Yeah.
So all Mark sent me at the start is he's like, it's like that scene in Back to the Future. You know, when he plays Johnny B. Goode, he's like, blues and B, watch me for the changes.
That's it.
What Mark's like. He's like, you're in D dominant, and then look at me for a change of G sound.
Mark is like, I remember you used to be pals with a guy I lived with.
Great bass.
And I had my bass just sitting out in the living room, and he came up to pick up my pal. And he was like, your bass, bro? I was like, aye. He was like, oh, can I have a shot? And I was like, yeah. And then he defiled her.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, yeah. I couldn't pick up for about 3 weeks. So I was like, you slag. You know what I mean? Like, like, this guy is frightening. I've seen him a few times. Like, that boy can, like, he's unreal on the bass.
Yeah.
He's the any argument you get with folk, like, bassists are just feel guitars. I was like, well, hey, look at this cunt. Tell me you could do half of what he does.
He's like, at the moment, he's sort of halfway through, well, more than halfway through now. It's me that he's waiting on. He's done it, right? Okay. So the reality is, we're getting technical. We're trying to get like down to the. So when he makes a sound, I make a sound. We'll try and be unison or synchronized, however you word that, in the Jesus, in the way that he's going to do it. Aye, but he's slapping the bass, slapping the bass, and the things he's doing. So he's talking about. I don't know how to put it in a nutshell. So you get 1, 2, 3, 4, right, as the count. So it'll be like 1, 3, 4, or 1, 2, 4, right, just in a nutshell. So you see what I'm saying? But that at alarming rate, so it's like digger dum dum digger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andy, okay, and exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, totally. So
just syncopation.
Yes. So, but he's kind of like, I couldn't even pretend to do it with my mouth, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, at an alarming rate. So that's what we're working at right now. So it's getting down to the mathematics.
I've always thought, man, I'm biased because I'm a bassist, apparently. Mm. But I've always thought, man, that if you're a bassist is lacking, then the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, and a lot of it's massively noticeable. What the big thing I would always say to folk is, the best drummers and the best bass players are the ones that you don't necessarily notice.
Mm-hmm. They're your workhorse midfielders.
No, that's a good
thing.
People
always say Ringo Starr's not a great drummer. Ringo Starr's a wonderful drummer.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I agree, man. They're the boys that they do their job, and they do their job well. They're the Joe Ledleys of the world.
Who's a bad like drummer or bassist that people think is good?
I'll tell you, a bad bass player that people think is good. Like, he's actually a phenomenal bass player, but he goes against everything I just said there. Remember the band Alien Ant Farm?
Yeah, love them.
Yeah. Their bass player, I remember seeing them at Reading years ago, and they got booed off the stage. His bass player is one of these guys, he's really technically proficient, and he's good, but he's always pulling faces and just acting up the whole time, just trying to be fucking noticed.
Yeah.
And they got fucking bottles of piss and bottled off the stage.
Really?
So that's always been my thing. It's like, great drummers and great bass players, you shouldn't really notice them unless you specifically go out your way to
focus on what they're doing. You get the fucking Bruce Foxton at the Jam. I seen him play with Stiff Little Fingers in 2005, man, and he was unbelievable. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, all over the place, but at the same time, it's just that line, never put a foot out of step, man. Him and the drummer were like clicking the whole time. And I think that's, for me, like, that part of the band is usually the most important, because if the drummer and the bass player didn't click, then
that's your backbone of your band.
The rest of it falls to shit.
It's your groove there, man.
Did I discuss the band last time that I was here? I'm not sure.
I don't think it.
Can I just go like a once over the being that is counterculture? So, Bartwright started the Counterculture Collective last year. It was a rap showcase. It was a mad change, and then we got a band. The band. It's not the Counterculture Collective. The band is the Counterculture Collective. How do you word it? It's like the offspring, you know, the brainchild of six absolute pillars of sound, you know. And if there was to be individual performer profiles,
that should be your album title, by the way. Six absolute pillars of sound.
I mean, it's difficult to put into words without underselling it, because. Like, if we've got the individual performer profiles, you'd see myself doing some poetry, a bit of rapping. The guys, so we'll start with electric guitar, it'd be Brucey, man. He'd be playing some heavy shred, Cowboys from Hell stuff. Dimebag Darrell, enthusiast. Sam, be honest, acoustic, playing some percussive acoustic, maybe country sounding stuff. Mark, slap funk, okay, know what I'm saying? Tim, jazz. Oh man, the guy's like a fingerstyle virtuoso. There's no, I'm telling you, I struggle to find the words and not undersell it. Yeah. You know? Right? And then so Maciek, in his own right, he's literally a champion of beatbox in the UK, you know? So the guy, and that would be drum and bass, sorry. So that was the point, and that would be all our different things, and we come together and we do this thing, and it's the CXC5 and Bartwright, because there's five of them, and I'm Bartwright, you know what I'm saying? But then the thing that comes with that is because there's so much creative input from the guys that it's difficult to the dynamics in the band are fantastic, it's massive, but what comes from that is the opportunity, the potential for lots of side project bands. Andy was part of one of those the other night, and hopefully we'll look to do lots more in the future because it was based. But the guys, that's the CX3, if you're calling it Counterculture Collective in short, CX35, that's the band there. And we'll actually be back for our fourth CX3 event on the 20th of July, which is in the Green Room. So that's the fourth one, signifies a year of doing what we're doing. We're going to have some guys in again for the poetry, the acoustic side of stuff. Can I run through the
Nice one.
So, yeah, on the 20th of July in the Green Room, £5 to get in. We'll have Rana Marathon. She was on here representing.
Yeah, totally.
So she'll be on for some of the poetry. I'm looking to get some guys.
She's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show, yeah, absolutely. Yes. So we'll be looking to get some guys, ideally in from out with Perth, to do some more poetry on that side of things as well. But on the acoustic section, we'll have a guy called Sam, who's actually the Sam McMaster. He's in the band. Him and his missus Stevie, they've got a duet. I think it's I'll not even try and name them in case I get it wrong. Sorry, guys, no disrespect. Stevie and Sam. Craig Lefko, Seamus Austin Levy, and Ruth Marie Cumming will be in on the acoustic side of things. We'll have Dukes, Swain, Minches, and myself on the rap side of things. And then again, the CX35 and Barkright will be supporting the Purple Felts. And that shit's going to be off the hook. Again, it's difficult to put into words the feeling, the vibe that you get. If you've been there, you can. You can exactly what I'm trying to say. It's like this mixed genre thing that's going on that makes everybody feel comfortable. It's like, and it's almost, I don't want to say intimate, because intimate, there's too many people to be intimate.
I'll play the game, I know you mean that. It's like a proper ideal venue. It's not huge, you get the atmosphere stuck in the room.
And you get a lot of like engagement, you know, it feels, me personally, when I'm doing the host thing under, when I'm on the vocals as well, the engagement, man, that's the only way I can put it. You know, you thrive off the buzz that you get off the guys. That's why it's, and I'm sure there's got to be some of that in the vice versa respect as well, you know. So so it's just fantastic, man, and I feel blessed to be part of it, man. Definitely. There's something else that I was wanting to touch on, but it's kind of just in the pipeline for next year. But look out for the Counterculture Collective takeovers next year. It's going to be, man, if this shit goes down, it's going to change the game for my organisation. Shit, I'm telling you.
keep us in the loop, definitely.
Would you guys consider putting together like an EP or even an album?
Having
spoken word tracks in there.
What I can do is I can get Andy a small clip for to put on, so the guys can hear it, so you can hear it, just like an example. I've got some stuff on my phone that I can let you listen to, but it'll be rubbish through that. The new, we're at the stage where we're pushing the hour mark for our, we're needing to push, sorry, our the hour mark for our slot time. And once we've pushed, once we've broken that there, we will be in a position where the hour slot, that's where we'll practice that. We'll get our main use to that when we're performing that material, and that'll let us build then. But what I would say the answer to your question is that we're not ready to record yet.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's so many things, and like this with these guys, man, the input. So like you get one thing and then it's an idea, and then the next thing is a week later when we hook up again, that idea has blossomed into something phenomenal. There's an expression, killing your babies, and it's obviously not a very sensitive expression, but it's totally true in the music respect, because you'll have something, you'll come up with something, and it's like, oh, this is great, I love this, you know, it's fantastic, and then that evolves into something greater, as all great things do. Totally.
No, fuck aye, man. Well, if you ping us some links, we'll stick it up on the page. I can't come to the 20th either.
Oh, no way. I remember you saying last time. Same again.
My best mate's back for China.
Oh, right.
I've seen the country in a year.
I'll get him in, man. I'll get you the ticket sorted out.
Is that the same thing I just said to you about an hour ago? I'll be there for that. Was that the World Cup final?
That's the week before.
Oh, yeah,
so he's back. The cunt's got the cunt's got the monopoly of me for a fortnight.
And I was going to just give a shout out to these guys at the Green Room, because They've got us in on the 6th, which is when will this go out to the good people?
Thursday.
Thursday.
So the 5th.
Thursday the 5th.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night, the 6th, Friday the 6th, come down to the green room. The guys have put on what could be one of the best nights of the month, one of the best nights of the summer. And it's all for free. We're going to have real life entertainment. I can edit that out, bro.
as opposed to AI entertainment.
Real life entertainment, RLE. And then we're going to be in after them, the CX35 and Barkwright. And then the Gyro Babies will be supporting. No, they will be headlining that night. Okay. I'm going to get it smooth. The Gyro Babies will be headlining that night. In fact, aye, that's true. So that'll be off the hook, man. Eh?
Fuck aye.
You got a good week for it, too. It's going to be nice. People are going to be out probably all day. So hopefully everyone will stumble down to... Well, not stumble down. We'll come down and check these out.
We're going to be doing poetry and stand-up comedy and all sorts of things earlier on that evening in Blend. So my plan is to go up there, merc a poem... Give this man some support because he's going to have to do some stand-up comedy. Respect her, man.
I didn't know if I was going to be there because of my kind of time for my slot. Turns out that I will in fact be there.
Nice. Then the plan was maybe to finish that and then maybe go down to the green room, have a couple of pints, and then.
I've been shiting myself. Literally, I'm waiting up in the middle of the night. Fuck. Yeah. My missus is like, should I come? I'm like, didn't I come? And then everyone was like, should we come along, man? Don't you fucking dare. Like,
what would you do if Chuff doesn't laugh?
I know she's not going to laugh on purpose because she's heard all my material because she's who I bounce on my shelf. So she laughed when I told her the first draft of the joke, but she's heard so many different variations of my jokes now. She's like, eh? Like, so last night I finally, because I was sitting messaging the boys in the group chat, like, ah, my boys, I'm shouting myself. And he's like, look, record yourself.
Do you want to drop one for us now?
While he's looking, monkeyswordfightpodcast@gmail.com. Sorry, please email us any bra and ahs feedback. Just say hi.
Can I give a quick shout to the Twitter address as well?
Yes.
MSF_podcast. And shout out to the Twitter folk. I think we're at like 140 followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Facebook's only like 165 likes, but the Facebook page has been up for about, what, 2 or 3 months? Twitter page has been up for a week.
Twitter's
where it's at. Facebook.
Right. And if you want to go and like the Counterculture Collective on Facebook...
I don't think I've got anything I can actually read out off the bat. I'll give you a couple of my notes that I've got written down. I've got Canadian Duck Border Control. The fucking...
What is that a concept?
I woke up in the morning one morning, right? And I had a fucking image of a Canadian duck telling a migrant to fuck off.
Kind of flesh that one out, but you get it.
That's literally all I've got written down. I've got this one. Sometimes I like to close my eyes while watching the tennis and pretend I'm in a passive aggressive threesome.
There you go.
Fuck no, but that's been fun, my best joke.
No, that's alright, it's good.
Other than that, man, fucking. I've got a set written out, and I've got it about done. But the thing is, you know what it is? See, like, try to say jokes when there's nobody around to hear them, so you kind of gauge your reaction. You kind of fucking So I'm trying to practice getting my voice sounding.
It's not
more natural.
The reaction, mate. It's in the delivery.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm trying to practice sounding more natural because at the moment I'm fucking reading out words that I've written down. So I'm trying to get it into a fucking more
conversational.
Yeah, a conversational style. So I'm watching stand up like non-stop. I'm fucking listening to different.
See, you did the right thing, like, though. You've gone to the night with all the poets and that and done something totally different. I've gone and they go, oh, I'm gonna fucking do poetry, eh? And then I'm gonna fucking.
Well, the poem you did was arguably quite good, mate. In the manner in which you deliver it as well. It's a very, like, that's got that poetry sound, man. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I will say the one thing, I got some good support off my brother because I shared the event on my Facebook and I wasn't gonna tell anybody about it, and then Rana put our names up on there. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do jokes, blah, blah, blah. And my brother messaged me, like, you did comedy? I was like, aye. And he goes, but you're no funny.
Oh dear.
How's that? Cheers, bro. Thanks for watching. I'm going to come down. I was like, the cunt's going to heckle me, innit? Shite!
Throw tomatoes at you.
So I pulled my phone out to sort of compare, because I thought, seen you were looking at your notes, and I was like, I've got a power of fucking shite in my notes here. So not that you've got shite in your notes, mate. That's not.
Oh no, yes,
Jesus Christ!
Like, did you not hear the Canadian border patrol?
No, no. That's, but can I do like a word by dots? What's I've got a quote here, like oh, motherfucker, I've come up with myself.
Barking with Barkright.
So bark shit with Barkright. What's up? So this is called The Great Game. In the great game, you are only limited by yourself. The irony is, the less you limit yourself, the less you have.
Deep.
Ooh, I like it.
I'm going to use that next week for the great game.
I'll just edit that out.
Fuck it. Well, that was nice.
Now I feel pressure. I got to start writing my own shit.
Yeah, no,
but
don't come on my show, upstage me.
Remember when we said, sorry, man.
I think it's fucking, Rana invited all three of us to go on. And I was like, fuck it, I bet we'll all be up for this. And then Mike's like, no, I'm not going to do it. I was like, shit, I was banking on another first name comic being there.
You know, I started writing a poem, but I don't think that I'll be able to kind of sneak in there last minute. So I can read it to you now.
Mate, you know, come on, you can take one of my minutes.
What? That's all I have. 1 minute worth of stuff.
Do I say it? Go for it, mate.
It's called It's Summer Holidays. And I wrote this when I was really annoyed with my daughters because it was 2 days into the summer holidays and I wanted to kill them. Summer holidays. They couldn't even keep them for a full day. So that means at 12, it's quitting time for us to go and play. No more threats of early nights because we got to be up early. But they're old enough now to want to go to sleep, surely. We take for granted the silence school time brings, 6 weeks of mayhem when that school bell rings. She hit me with, that's mine, from sun up. She hit me with, that's mine, from sun up to sundown. Activities every day that you have to pay for when you don't have a spare pound. Perth is great, but there's limits to your options. Plan your whole day around getting your weekly shopping.
Nice.
That's all I got for you.
Nah, that's not good.
Nah, totally. Okay. Sure if we put a word in Marana, she could easily sneak Mike in for a minute.
Oh, okay. Oh, no doubt, man. Yeah,
I'm going to go do my poem anyway. If Mike's there, I'm shouting him out and getting him up.
I'm
doing a poem.
If my set goes well, I'll shout out the podcast at the end. If it doesn't, I won't.
And I think that it's better if you don't do well to shout it out. It'll get people to
I'm much funnier week in, week out.
We feel bad for him. We'll listen to him, actually.
Do you want to hear one of the ones that I've written recently?
Yeah,
it was a snippet, man.
It's very much a work in progress, and I don't have it all blanked, but it's called Angry Man. So I get in a rage about something, I get to strutting, I can't do nothing. It's like I'm fucking bluffing, I'm blushing. You want to get to touching and shoving, you best be ducking. I swear, if you get in my space, you risk your fucking face, for I am an angry guy. But gone are the days where I will smash the fuck out of something for nothing or the sake of discussion. But I'm still an angry guy. It's just sometimes I lie at night and cry. See, there's nothing that you can do with that demonic rage or that wholehearted want to break in someone's face. You need to put that shit somewhere and it needs to be a safe place. So can you imagine my brain before my pen touch my page? That's it.
That's like the male version of week 3.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We've countered that. That's awesome.
Fuck out, man. Well, what we'll do is we'll leave you there, man. Like, so we'll get you shout out the dates or the end and that.
Mm. Yes.
We'll drop some new material. Andy Matt's keeping his special. You want?
Oh no! Unless you got something, Andy.
Do you honestly think the listeners want to hear my poem?
Definitely. Sneak preview.
Here, mate, the fuck are you saying? I couldn't nearly run you over there, man. What are you doing? You're hiding behind parked cars and then jumping out. And the next time I swear you do it to me, man, I'll be wiping you out. And unfortunately for me, I can smell it through here that you've had more than a couple of drinks. And you've no had a wash or brush your teeth because your breath fucking stinks. With your Adidas poppers on and a suit jacket too. And I'm like, what the fuck have you been doing, man? How are you missing a shoe? And the state of that poor sock. Oh, you bastard. Could his big toe be sticking out any further? And his heads all cut and his croupion's pure mould. Looks like some cunt just grabbed him and threw him over the top of a wall. And I'm like, bro, listen, you need to calm it down. Because there's kids playing around here, and then there's old Mrs. Brown. And I can see that she's no happy. She's tending to her garden, tutting and tisking. And you're outside here standing, giving her abuse on the piss, man. So pack it in, call it a night. Because me and Mrs. Brown have had enough of your shite.
That's
absolutely ridiculous. So, right, swiftly moving on. The next section of the podcast is...
Bra or nah?
Bra or nah?
And we've got loads of brother in laws this week.
We've got a carryover
from last week as
so
well.
Is that am I right in thinking that the guys will go up and comment on the page and you choose which ones from there?
Yeah,
we'll chuck ones in ourselves and then we'll chuck one up on the Facebook page and then if anyone else wants to chime in.
Gives folk that sense of involvement. I like it, boys. I like it. It's good.
Hey, wait a minute. If Mike's going to do his usual video, I'll pull up the list.
Oh, yeah, I can get that cooking.
Right, well, wait a minute. Let me just have a look and we'll see what we've got written in ourselves. I think this is going to be a really simple one, and I've made everyone aware of my feelings on this cunt. Neymar. Cunt.
Discuss.
Discuss.
You know what it is, man, right? See, for me, what annoys me the most is that he's a phenomenal player.
But he's a little shite.
He will never be considered as one of the greats until he eliminates that for his game. It was the same with Ronaldo.
I was just about to say that. It's just exactly the same.
Ronaldo,
get yourself to the gym, son, and fucking pull your Ken finger out.
So Ronaldo was once a diving bastard.
Oh, yeah, man, Ronaldo was...
It
takes a lot more to get him doing, but like, there was that one years ago where Wayne Rooney fouled him, and it was England v Portugal, and Rooney got sent off, and Ronaldo winked at his teammate. And they were playing for Man United, both of them at the same time at that time. And Aubrey was going mental on Ronaldo, but he's since fucking pulled up his socks and become fucking...
the greatest player in football.
One of the GOATs, let's be honest with you. Yeah. So Neymar, until he pulls his shit out, actually, no, Kemo, he's already fucked it because he's got no class. Absolutely no class. So, again, what time are we at? We're at 51 minutes. I mentioned Celtic. When Celtic played...
Here we go.
When Celtic played PSG, Neymar was getting marked by Anthony Ralston, an 18-year-old who was only in because Lustig had injured himself. And he played his wee fucking heart out, and he went to shake Neymar's hand at the end of the game, and Neymar was like, fuck off, you can't, and just mugged him off. And you know what I mean? I was just
is
like,
that when Scott Brown gave him a kick?
Remember that? Glorious.
He made the most of that day, though, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
See, this is what we're talking about. This is exactly the problem.
You know what I mean? He'll
chase the ball like fire if he can.
So for me, Neymar is a no. So fire on the table.
Neymar is a... I'll tell this to the listeners. Neymar is a wee cunt. And that is it. That's all I'm saying. It's fucking little spaghetti.
I'll say that's a no.
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 Fucking hate him.
I'll go nah too.
Pressure.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him a bra. He didn't make it, but I like the video where he's getting kicked down the field by somebody and he keeps rolling.
Oh, was that when Mbappe's dribbling him?
Yes.
In the pitch?
Yeah. There you go. So that's the only reason why
the video
keeps on rolling.
Yeah. I just want to say that this is pretty creepy because once I got you on camera, it said, "Do you want to tag you in it?" So it does do facial recognition.
Oh shit.
So it's picking both of you up, but not me.
Pick you up, no.
next one we have on the Monkey Sword Fight private one is tank tops. Yeah. That was put in by a guy who's wearing a tank
top. AKA wife beaters.
Wow, you can't say that in the Me Too movement and this whole feminist forward stuff. Can't call them wife beaters anymore. Gotta call them A-shirts,
I've just always called them vests, bro.
A-shirts, bro.
Fuck, man. See, if it's hot outside, I was wearing one earlier in the gym. Like, I didn't own a lot of vests, but if I'm going to go to the gym, I'll wear one.
I'll say bra. You've got to be, I'm bra. Bra for the vest.
Bra apart from the ones that are like, so cut down that cunt's nipples are flying about all the time.
Yeah, let me get controversial. Wife beaters, bra.
The vest! We're going to edit that out. You're never going to be able to perform in Perth again.
Yeah, that's it. Jesus.
He means the vest.
I'll say bra. Bra. Andy Mark.
Yeah, man, you got to wear something to beat the wife in. I'm joking.
Close to the bone.
I've got a couple of Stellas. I'm going to be
I put that up there just because since I was told I dressed like a 15-year-old, I didn't think that maybe tank tops weren't for 30-year-old men, 30-plus-year-old men.
So good, man.
With children.
So
okay, good. We'll move along swiftly. First one here. Men wearing flip-flops to go out shopping.
No. Okay, wait.
Sorry to interrupt you. I think it depends on where you are. Straight, okay. As in, like, kind of like if you're cutting into the St. John's Centre with the flip flops on, mate.
Well, I'm going to say. What are you up to? To counter that point, if the answer to that question is outside your house, no.
Aye, but Ken, if you're like in Spain.
That's my rule. My rule is if you are on a boat. Or if you are close to sand, you can put some flip-flops on. Flip-flops on.
I think if you're close to water, Mike, so like if you're near the sea,
well, the
shower, kind of thing, flip-flops are acceptable in water.
Okay, we're going
to close to water. That's a good rule.
Okay, yeah, so, to go out shopping, EDC, is Craig McCaffrey's point. So I reckon he means just cutting about.
No, the guys that we were talking about going into the tube. Like, nah, mate, get your shoes on, get your socks on.
Craig, unless you're shopping on a boat, no.
I believe it's pronounced Craig.
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 Craig. What is that? That's actually Friday.
It is, yeah.
Craig.
Craig.
Next one here we got from Nicol Lumsden is the amount of coverage England are getting on every single news outlet.
So, can I just chime in as well before we go in there? Because I've got the England football team, so can we just chuck that all in to make, like, yeah, because I concur absolutely.
We'll get more into what we watched earlier when we get to the sports section, but I'm going to say, controversially, I don't think they've been as bad this time around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for as much as I dislike England, I've got to give props to Gareth Southgate. Because I think he's doing better than a lot of cunts have done for a while.
Oh, look at Jordan. That's not a switcheroo.
Diplomatic, man.
What I mean is, managing the press game, do you know what I mean? He's not getting into a back and forth for the press. There was that leaked team sheet, and he's like, no, it had a possible team on one side. The other side of the paper was a completely different list of names. So, and he goes, it's not up to the press to protect my players. So, I'm still going to say it's been better than it has been before.
So it's still a no, but it's you're doing better, guys. Right. Keep working on it. Right, totally. I concur.
All right.
Absolutely.
Nothing really to say about them. Fucking sick of hearing about them.
Well, I think that it's... I kind of agree with you. I don't think that it's that bad, but considering that it's the UK, they assume that the entire UK is behind England.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it's that bad.
Well, they want us flying England flags outside of all government buildings, even out with England. So even on the Scottish office up in Edinburgh, they're wanting St George's flag flying.
And then fucking Andy Murray is fucking British by all sorts of kind of saying he's fucking
isn't he hurt now? So he's Scottish.
No, is that straight. He's you got Gammy Nee Sunshine. I will see you later. Fuck.
Get back up north.
Right, so I'm just going to assume that's a resounding.
That is an absolute, unanimous.
Let's have a look here. Greg Tarbett, tattoos of your bird's name on your arm. Hell no, says Greg Tarbett.
Yeah, but it's not tattoos, he's put.
Totos.
I don't think Greg understands bra or not. So. Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Nah. Tattoos of what? What was
of
it?
Your bird's name on your arm.
Oh, fuck. Oh,
arm specific?
I think just in general.
Yeah, nah. It's not like I have a tattoo of any birds on my body. Like, I'm just saying,
very cool.
Do you need the reminder? Like, is that what it is?
I think that if you want to get something for your loved one, your girlfriend or your wife, get like a symbol that means something to you that if it doesn't work out, like 50% of marriages don't, you may want to... You can keep
erase
it.
Erase that, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah,
totally.
Well, like a full Ramsey wears, like, knitted jumpers.
Oh, string vest.
I can remind one of my pals, Steve. He had his missus' name tattooed on his foot. And then the next thing was the name... with the big red void across
it. Void?
Oh, void, oh. Mate. Void.
You don't void a person, you void an object.
I think that's what he's getting at.
I've got a name tattoo on my foot so I can kick it into touch.
Right, well, that's a no. Oh, man, we're getting
I've got a wee backlog from last week, so just shout out to long-time listener Ali Cook. Ali and I were having a good chat this morning on Facebook.
Ali!
Was hitting him with some lengthy messages. The tables have turned, Ali. Now, Ali threw a couple in last week. He's got four or five. I just wanted to throw the first one in, bagpipes.
Oh!
Which I thought was a really good one.
Yeah, so, I think, man, there's definitely a time and a place for that shit. But it does make you... It's made me cry at the same time.
Well, I'm a very patriotic feeling. When they're done well, like, do you know what I mean, like a funeral or something like that, man, it can be incredibly poignant.
If it's done well. I don't think you can tell the difference between some cunt playing the bagpipe. I don't think you can tell the difference between some cunt you can play them and who fucking can't.
I agree.
Although it is like, you know, your national instrument, but yeah, I think they're broke.
I'll tell you what, my national instrument.
Surely there's the feeling that you get, everyone gets it. I don't know if everyone gets it, but most folk, if I feel it, I'm assuming other people are feeling it. It's that midnight is coming up, or I don't know if it's just past. Christ, I'm in the moment. And they're playing, man, and it's the Loch Lomond tune and Elty's Ken. What's that called?
It's right. Putting it off, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? What's that actual song called?
I'm
gonna say bro just for the reason that you gave, that people wouldn't know if
it's made. Telling you, somebody's playing bagpipes badly, you fucking know.
But I love how it gets adopted, like you see, like Boston Police Department, NYPD, yes. And all that. They are fucking there. Why do they not know what that is?
Because it was explained to me that because America is a country of immigrants, so they hold on to that. And so there was a lot of firefighters and police officers that are of Irish or Italian descent, or Scottish descent, but they say that they're Irish.
Fair enough.
They go that way.
Being Irish since DOS.
It wasn't until the Great Potato Famine and massive Irish immigration to the east coast of the US that the tradition of bagpipes really took hold in the fire departments.
Yeah,
there you go.
For the reasons that I mentioned. The other one, sorry, just to throw one more at you that Ali had thrown in from last week, was dime bars. Something very close to my heart. Dime bars.
Tell you what,
I've never had one, so I'm going to abstain from this.
I had
I'll bring you one next week, man.
Last Christmas, I had a dime bar cheesecake. I saw God.
He's getting the food sweats out.
What's in a dime bar? What is it?
Oh, it's just. So
it's
goodness.
It's got like the bits in it. The caramel's solid.
Hard caramel crunch.
I like that. Sounds good so far.
It's actually they're quite like oofed.
Crunchy.
You have a couple, you'll be fine.
Yeah, crunchy almond caramel covered in milk chocolate. It's similar to Hershey's Heath and Score bar. Do you know what they are?
I've had a Heath bar before, yeah.
Yeah, so it's similar to that.
All right. Fuck that.
But they don't call them dimes anymore. They're called, like, dimes. You know, it used to be dime, like D-I-M-E, but now it's like
D-A-I-M.
What's it all about?
What is a dime? Or is that, like, is there a...
It must be the Swedish.
Somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Fuck, something European, man.
Not us.
We got.
We saying that's bro, then,
I'm a bro, man.
Yeah.
I like chocolate.
I thought my orgasmic chat was enough to clarify that. I'm down with that shit.
Cool.
We'll go for one more then, and we'll save these other ones we've got in the comments for next week. Last week's guest, Mitch Hunter, dipping your fries in your milkshake.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, this is going to go back to the conversation we had earlier. That makes me feel in the same manner about the jam and the cheese, and the same with the peanut butter and the bacon. It's like, I can't, right? Jam and cheese, bro. What are you thinking about?
I've not tried it. Bro, no,
I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? But I can that peanut butter and bacon made me feel the same way. That's what I can. And that shit is good. But
I think we should try that next episode. We'll get some peanut butter. Yeah. Well, I always have peanut butter, but we'll get some bacon.
You see the competitive eaters, those guys do that a lot. Like, you know, when they're tasked these huge burgers and fries and a milkshake, you got like fucking 25 minutes to eat it.
Huge
amounts of fucking fries in the milkshake. Apparently it's really good.
Do we know what kind of milkshake it is?
Well, in my experience, it's been a McDonald's chocolate milkshake.
And
you're just slamming some of the fries, and it's the salty sweet goodness.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Mitch, if you're watching, if you're out there, my fucking man. That shit is bro.
It is good. There is a certain type, there's a fast food restaurant in America called Wendy's, and that's the only place that I'll do it with, they only have a chocolate shake, actually, and I would dip the fries in that.
Because that's the only one worth having.
I'll,
just
I'll buy you some fries and a shake if you take me past McDonald's on the way home, bro.
Mate, I'm already thinking about going past McDonald's.
We're on it, mate. We're on
fucking
it.
Fucking starving.
Yes.
What's the goalie doing?
What's the goalie doing?
So we all watched the we came out of Mike's early for the second half of the England game.
Yeah, it turned out to be a good half. Well, it was good with action, but you guys didn't get the outcome you wanted.
Yeah, well, everyone knows that. Colombian last minute equaliser, goes to penalties, and then fucking bastard.
It was an emotional penalty.
It was.
Oh, but it was a cracking penalty. Shit, I will say, just go off it now because it's depressing to think about. This has been the best World Cup I can remember for a long time.
Yeah.
In a way that
the competition.
Aye, man, that's a lot of the favourites are out. So what we saying? We've got two of the big.
Oh, it's coming home for Harry's Heroes. My mum's absolutely raging, man. She's just been texting me there when you were in the toilet. She's fucking no happy. Right?
So, well, what we'll do is before we get into too much, we'll clarify our World Cup sweepy.
Yeah.
See who's still standing, and then we'll talk some more about anyone but England.
Right, so who is still in the sweepy? You've got your host Jordan Patrick. Convenient that.
I was about to say,
let's say I've got fucking Sweden boys, eh?
Totally. The host is in the running for that sweet, sweet prize.
However, sweet prize. Our other host, Mr. Dots, he's got Putin's boys, Russia, still in there. So,
and they're not losing without
Ruskies
poisoned by plutonium. So,
I seen somebody on Twitter saying that trying to start a fucking doping rumor because it was like a stat table, and it was like in like yards ran, sprints ran, top speed, top distance covered, and Russia was top of all of them. Oh, and then they had a picture of a Russian player, and they zoomed in on his arm, and there was what looked like a puncture mark.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, Matt, I'm just saying, there's no out of the realms of possibility. They've had state-sponsored doping.
They just want to win.
Mark McKinnon said it last week, he's like, if Russia wants to win it,
Russia will win it. Yeah.
Say that, man, their game against Spain, I didn't like the Russians at all, man, but I was bouncing. You get caught up in that football spirit, man, the underdog spirit.
Yeah.
And when they beat Spain, I mean, you got a little bit of a buzz just to see one of the big... Because that's why I said it for a start, I just want somebody to win it who hasn't won it before. I want a new winner crown.
Just something new, man.
Just something to fucking shake up. Like, so who's it? We've got... Sorry, carry on. We'll carry on after.
Well, I've got Luke Duffin. He's still in there. Duffman. He's got Belgium. Rana. Rana has got France. She had another really good team as well, didn't she?
She thought she had Argentina, but Mike had
I'm going to buy her teams off her. She's not going to give a fuck for that.
You just want to get that sweet secret prize.
She's not going to be giving a fuck for that, like, is she?
I've still got
for the World Cup. I mean, sorry.
Matt McKeown, Brazil. Our man Ali Cook, he's got Uruguay.
Ooh.
Which is one of those ones I said to you all those weeks ago. Keep an eye on.
All right.
Rachel, Croatia.
If she wins, she's not getting a fuck.
No,
I'm pretty sure she gave me a row for even putting her name into the sweepy.
Cheat up.
I'm going to get another text from you.
I don't care. I saw her the other night. She was nice. She was being very nice to me. And last but not least, one of my favourite guests we've had on is Hen Dogs himself.
England.
He's got
England.
Harry's Heroes. So, yeah. So I know Andy Henderson's delighted at that. So, yeah. All you guys have still got a team, so we'll see what happens.
Right, so let's go through it. So we've got the two semi-finals, Friday and Saturday. So we've got...
quarter-finals to go first.
Quarter-finals. So we've got...
Uruguay, France, Brazil, France. Sweden, Brazil, Belgium, Sweden, England, Russia, Croatia.
Brazil, Belgium's going to be a good one.
That'll be a good game, man. I think Brazil have got cracks in their game this time around. Like they're good, don't get me wrong, man. They're still one of the best in the world, but... they've been grinding out results, which isn't like Brazil, and I think they've not really faced super tough competition.
I look at their side of the draw, and I think probably it's either them or France that.
Yeah.
Definitely. But listen, don't write off Uruguay, man.
No, man, that's what I'm saying. Anything can happen. Look, France rolled over Argentina. Do you know what I mean? And fucking Japan took Belgium right to the fucking end. That, by the way.
Oh, see.
We touch on that game, by the way.
Jeez, yeah.
Sick.
I was jumping up and doing, man, like I was actually part Belgian. Which I could be, I don't know for sure. But
Oh man, this has been my favourite World Cup for probably since 98.
Yeah,
just in terms of excitement and fucking,
it's very exciting.
The knockout stages, man, have been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. What, the knockout stages, like 3 of the 8 games, 4 of the 8 games went to extra time. The Denmark Croatia game, that was a belter.
The only real minger you've had in the knockout so far was the game this afternoon with Switzerland and Sweden.
Oh mate, I listened to that on the radio, man. That was garbage, man. Absolute garbage.
So does any other teams have, they don't, no other teams has got like a Suarez equivalent, do they?
And the underdogs?
Any of
them? See, like, you've got superstars in every team, I'd say. So you've got your guy, you've got Cavani, Suarez, you've got France, I've got a team of superstars. Mbappe is another level so far, man.
Yeah.
Sweden are probably arguably, you know,
they've got a good player in that Forsberg, though. He's a good player.
Brazil are fucking Brazil. Who you got? England of. Fuck off.
Harry's heroes. Harry's about to win it. It's coming.
We were talking about, man, to be fair, we said it earlier, man, Harry Kane is a fucking world class striker.
He's a prick.
Yeah. So Suarez, so is Neymar.
I mean, yeah, that's totally
true. You know, I mean, maybe like, that's a requirement. You got to be a prick to be.
Yeah, I've got a good feeling with Belgium, man. I reckon Brazil have struggled, and I reckon Belgium are the best team that they've faced so far, and they've struggled against not bad teams, but they've not ran anyone over yet. Whereas I think Belgium have got the stuff. Like I said, we've seen it in the game last night. They had, for the first hour of that game, once Japan went 2-0 up, I was thinking, nah, man, that's Belgium done. And then, let's say, Martinez fucking switched up. The two subbies scored the late goals.
Yeah, I mean, they're a substitute. They're a manager, right? That guy, for what he did and then what happened, that's like... Yeah.
He's a boy, man. Like you're saying, even if you might just get fucking Fellaini going and get a goal.
Was it... Rio Ferdinand was saying something as well, like... Played it. I can't remember what it was exactly. It was along the lines of he's all knees and elbows and that, and the ball just still hit head. It's like that.
I'm calling it Belgium. I had a wee thing I wanted to just.
I think England. I think they may have got all their. They may have played their full game tonight. I think everyone got super excited because they've won tonight, and now it's like next week they may show up. It'll be.
See, I mean, the thing is, man. Like they could not have asked for a better draw than Sweden. Out of all the teams left in the last, was it eight? The last eight, Sweden is the team they would have been climbing up to play.
Yeah.
Because every other single one of those teams have got boys in there that can go against them, whereas Sweden, I don't think, have it in the tank. I was going to touch on just a quick, I just want to get everyone on the table, get a wee fucking short story. After the Japan game last night, man, we were all saying we were sick for Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Came so close. Can anyone else pick out moment in sport that just broke your heart?
Yes. Scotland nearly qualifying for Euro 2008. I was at the game at Hampden and they gave the free kick against Alan Hutton down in the corner and the Italians scored the fucking 89th minute header. When the fucking
hell.
I never watched Scotland again after that.
That was fucking an Italian
leader.
No, just sick of them. Like, my mum always used to say to me, like, when I was growing up, I'd say to my granddad, oh, you're watching like, the Scotland game? And I was like, what's the point of shit? You know, and as you grow up, you'll learn to realise that they'll just consistently let you down. Right. I just got sick of watching Scotland, and that's what they've done the last 10 years.
Well, what have they done the last 20 years, mate? Mbappe wasn't even born the last time Scotland were in a World Cup, and now he's lighting this one on fire.
So wait, quick tangent, right? Like, so you're saying that, because I've heard other people say this as well, like Scotland shit, so there's no point in watching. But why doesn't that translate over to normal football, like club football, you know what I mean? Like, so you support your team and that's your team, but people don't say, oh, I'm not watching my team because they're shit. They'll still go and they'll be into it.
You definitely got folk that, I think, forget, they're like, fuck this team and that.
Oh, really?
Think, yeah, right. I've watched like the progression, sorry man, the progression of the Arsenal guys over there. Like,
yes.
Leading up to Wenger's leaving and that. So you see the guys like, get him out.
The guy's like, Wenger. I think it's for Scotland fans especially, because like my old man was saying that, when he was younger, it was not irregular for Scotland to qualify for the World Cup. So, do you know what I mean? You had something to fall, and you had the qualifiers didn't seem so fucking downtrodden. Whereas, I think for guys like our age, our generation, all we can remember, let's say Scotland, in my entire life, have only been in one World Cup, and that was 20 years ago. Do you know what I mean? So the last thing I can remember Scotland being in a World Cup, I was the same age as my wee boy is now.
Oh, of course, you were born in 1989, weren't you?
Aye, so I was 1998 is the only World Cup I've been alive for us. Or I remember us being in.
Yes. Do you think the... And then we'll go back around the table. Sorry, this is just, that's just popped in my head. Do you think that because the SPL is so top-heavy, that has anything to do with the fact that their national team isn't as good?
I don't know, man. I think...
it can go down to, you can even say that, but it's, there is a lot of homegrown talent in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was two boys that played in the SBL in the Champions League final. Do you know what I mean? Well, there was one boy that was Scottish.
Yeah.
And you have Darren Fletcher, he was a big player for Man United for a lot of years. Kieran Tierney is getting touted by a fucking however much move to Everton. Do you know what I mean? A lot of the Celtic players that went so far through the league and played Champions League football have come through the academy. Do you know what I mean? So there is talent there. I just think there's not enough money going into grassroots football in Scotland. As opposed to other countries, you've got Iceland. Iceland's got a population the size of fucking Glasgow, but in every single Icelandic place, town and city, they have a state-of-the-art indoor and outdoor football pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And they're encouraged to go out and play football as part of their national identity.
I mean, I think, I'm not sure what it is for outside of Perth, but Perth in particular, they take the goals down in summer.
Yeah,
it was always pitches. Like that when I was growing up.
Why?
For the grass, mate, the state of the grass. They do the other things on the grass and they have all the other events and whatever else, and God, you've got up to keep the inch, man. It's the fucking inch, Ken. So, can't have the folk fucking playing football in the summer. Fucking Jesus, that's a fucking council right there for you, mate.
Just to touch on something Mike said, you know, why would you go to watch your team week in, week out, but you wouldn't say give us a shit about Scotland if a shit? Because obviously, you know, I support Dundee United, they've got a season ticket. And
yeah.
Fucking garbage. but the crucial point is, I made the choice, you know,
you've got
to support them. United.
Yeah.
I don't have a choice, you know, to support Colombia because I'm not Colombian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to support Brazil because I'm not Brazilian. I'm Scottish, so unfortunately that's what I'm lumped with.
Yes.
It's like you don't get to pick your country.
I've got
well, I'm kind of lumped with your team as well. I mean, normally it's passed down in your family.
I remember seeing something that you were talking about with the Scottish team there, and we were saying, I remember the guy, he was Ken Brody. Brody man, shout out if you hear this ever.
Shout out to Brody.
Yeah, man. He put on something that was fantastic. It could probably get put into some form of stand up. Just saying. He said, the SFA should undertake a patriotic mission where they commission 20 of the top shaggers from Scotland and send them out into Europe and elsewhere in the world, and I guarantee you 20 years or so will qualify for a major fucking tournament. That's it. Happy days, mate. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Fuck, spot on, mate.
Send them to Brazil.
But they need to bring the offspring back.
Yes,
that needs to be the point.
I said this to you weeks ago, Jordan. I made the exact point. Is I wonder how many potential great players Scotland has that could be coming through that under 13s to under 17s level who just get away off on the gear and the party.
Yeah, whether that
I can two or three boys from Perth that were at my school or I knew at the end around Perth, and they had fucking glowing careers ahead of them. Kind of like playing, I played for Bridge of Erne when I was 10 or 11 year old, and the year group below us, just before we went up to like under 13s or something, half their squad got signed by pro clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all of them, only one of them still playing. David Witherspoon plays for Saints.
Man, yeah. he was in my primary school class.
Scottish Cup winner. But do you know what I mean? That's out of, say for instance, five boys, he's the only one who's carried on. Scottish. And I know one of them went down a bad path. No more said on that. I can a couple of boys from my school who had contracts with pro clubs and teenagers, and I know a couple of them are now like brickies and that. Mm. Do you know, no disrespect to brickies, man.
Hashtag life, bro.
I just wonder our culture of drinking and going out at the weekends and fucking partying and doing what we do is ultimately affecting, you know, young sportsmen and women coming through.
We're getting it to sesh though, eh, boys? Hey,
I think it's that, and it's also a combination of what you were saying. Oh no, I think what you were saying about there's no money into it. So when you say, hey, there's no money, there's no place for you to go play or a team where you can go play, and you can get high. So why not?
Right, Mike, saddest moment in sports.
This is probably not going to mean a lot to you guys or any of our listeners, but the Giants had to, I think they had to win this game to get into the playoffs. They were up huge, and Michael Vick, who played a division rival. This is a division rival playing against Philadelphia Eagles.
Professional dogfighter.
Yeah, professional dogfighter.
Great player, though.
Very great player, and they scored about 17 points in about 2 minutes, and the last touchdown was like on a punt return, and I just felt my heart come out of my throat. I was like, I can't believe I just watched this team just fall apart right in front of my face. But
were you crying?
No, I didn't cry.
Yeah,
you did. You know, I'll tell you a time where I did cry. I did cry when the Bulls were playing. I was a huge Jordan fan. The Bulls were playing somebody in the finals. It was like game 4 or 5, and they were just getting their ass kicked. I had my heart set that they were going to sweep that series, and they ended up getting, I think it was a Supersonics. Supersonics ended up beating them, and I was like crying. My mom was like, why are you crying, you loser? I was like, Mom, Jordan was supposed to win. Mom. They were going to win at home, and they were going to celebrate at home. She was like, man, you can get your ass to bed.
Alex, you got one?
I've been trying to rack my brain, man. I can't think of something off, like, kind of like to, that's... When I think of, like, saddest, like, genuinely made me sad, and the first thing that comes to my head is watching someone take an injury that's not fucking an easy one, you know, like a hard, like, I'm trying to think, man, because that's not about me. Yeah, totally. It's just not very pleasant for anyone involved, is it? You know? Again. So, yeah. But I know I'm going to need to go. If I don't, I think I probably just don't carry enough emotional involvement in it to give a fuck. But I love it. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'll be watching the game, apart from the game we've just watched, obviously. But I'll be watching any other games, and I'm not like, kind of like, the ball will come up the pitch, and I'll be like, go on, and then I'll go right up the other end of the pitch, and I'll be like, go on. Okay, you know what I mean? And just
because, a fan of the game.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll probably get some folk that will be like, oh, this fucking guy. Okay, he's one of them. He's fucking one of them. Right? He's a neutral or whatever. Again, whatever he can. Probably something cooler than that.
I've got to say, man, it's going to be obvious, and any sort of fan listener will be the UEFA Cup final 2004 against Porto.
And, Porto.
So this is probably, Rangers got to the final a few years later, but it was 2004, man, and we've been written off so many times in the tournament.
We'd beat such a big Celtic fan, he can't even get the year right. It was
2003. Hi-oh! Dick!
Right, come on, I thought it was fun. The next moment was 2004 when Henke left. But anyway,
I think the saddest moment was when he broke his leg.
Oh, we came back for that.
Oh man, that's
fucking
that,
the Porto game, man. We came back twice in the game,
yeah,
and lost. And I remember it, man, because Porto were just diving left, right, and centre. And that dirty bastard Jose Mourinho, I still to this day, since he became Man United manager,
let it go,
I've not supported Man United. Man United are my English team, and since he's became Man United manager, I can't cheer for them. So until that fucking dirty, diving, arsehole, smack puss, fuck cunt leaves, I will not support Man United. Anyway, that was me. Sorry. I didn't expect to get as deep into that as I did. So, anyway.
Is Celtic, so is everyone who supports Celtic, is your English team Man United and the Rangers fans, is it?
No. I've always really, when it comes to English football, I followed players.
It's all that glory hunting, eh? That's what it is, bro.
No, I mean, it's not. I always followed players. I used to fucking love Thierry Henry, and then he fucked off.
Thierry Henry, you mean?
Thierry Henry. And then I was a big Wayne Rooney fan, and then that was when I was like 15, 16, and I never really bothered with English football, and I still have Man United tops in my cupboard, so if anyone asks, they're my team.
No, I don't understand. When you talked about supporting English team, I was going to put that in broad and offer next week, because I don't understand people who live up here who support Scottish football, why they need to have an English team.
Well, it's more the team that I follow. Like, I've never like watched a Man United game and got like right into it, but it's like they're the team I would keep an eye on the results in that.
Folk up here are like, I'm a Liverpool fan. Alright, sound, but do you not like Saints? Or no, I'm a Liverpool fan. I think, how the fuck are you a Liverpool fan? There's a fucking football team right on your fucking doorstep.
Yeah, come on, yeah, and that's why I'm happy that I got them in the draw thing, because they're right there. I think it would be weird not to support them. But I've been very curious about that, especially when I first moved here. I was like, how do you not support, especially seeing, I was living in Glasgow at the time, I was like, especially seeing how big and how passionate people are about soccer, football, why do you support English teams? And they were like, well, it's just a better quality of football, that's why we do it. And it's like, but still,
it's because they can't be arsed going to the games, and they're quite happy to sit on their fat fucking arse watching it on Sky Sports rather than get themselves out there, put £250 into a season ticket to support your local fucking team.
I was just
team.
About to say, spoken by someone who holds a season ticket for his club right there. That's a loyal guy, that's a fan right there.
I would, if my dad was a Saints fan, I'd have been a Saints fan. So the only reason I'm a Celtic fan is because my dad was a Celtic fan. So as well as a
Rangers.
So you're telling me, that you've been brainwashed, mate. That's what you're telling me.
I tell you though, I am that shit, because I grew up in a street full of Rangers fans in the 90s, mate.
Oh,
we won fuck all. I got my ass.
10 years.
Yeah, mate, I got my ass booted up and down RSK Place for the best part of my childhood, so I fucking earned the right to be a Celtic fan. I'll tell you that now.
Fair play, mate, fair play.
Right, well, are we going to what we've been watching and listening?
Yeah, there's that.
Aye, everyone happy with that? Soon.
I was just going to ask what's everyone's highlight of the World Cup been so far.
Oh, all right.
I didn't want to ask that.
Sorry. I'm going to say the game last night, the Belgium-Japan game. Like, had it all, man. I had it. Underdog, elation, late goals, heartbreak. Fucking that, to me, is what I want for a World Cup game. And you wouldn't think you're getting it for Belgium-Japan, but that's been my highlight game so far.
That was mine, but just for the sake of being different, I have another one. Was it Korea and Mexico?
Korea-Germany. Was that the...
Oh, Korea-Germany. Yeah. Just to see a team that didn't have a chance anyway still fight, and then the emotion afterwards. That's up there with the Gareth Bale moment that got me to this point with football.
Yeah,
for me, seeing them do that. And then seeing, like, Korean people or people who follow the Korean team, like, on Twitter, just being like, holy shit, like... This is big. People were like, no, what do you mean? You still aren't going anywhere. They were like, no, this is big for us. We knocked out Germany.
Yeah, we beat out the world champions.
That's another turning point for me. That was big.
Fuck yeah.
Probably the penalty shootout that we just watched.
Because that was good.
Bloody intense, mate.
It was, man. We were all fucking up and doing like... Yeah.
But then it hits that point around that second last penalty where it's just like, oh, fuck.
you can feel your arsehole tightening to take the shot.
It's like, mate, God. But I think that probably there for me, yeah.
Maradona for me. Honestly, man, I'd be on Diego watch for fucking 2.5 weeks.
What was it when you put in the group chat? It was like a screenshot of a betting website, and it's at Maradona plus 2.5 ounces.
His nose was full of some shit that entire
thing. It was just the one with the glass that I put on Twitter where they've got the glass thing, like glass facade there in front of the stand, and it is fucking absolutely hoaching in white powder all the way down. Like he's just been baking a cake at
it was a video of him on his private jet necking a tequila shot, like, yes, and there's a massive bag of powder right behind them.
Fuck's sake.
His heart is
for me though. I'm just going to say, in all seriousness, games Spain Portugal for me was still my
first
highlight.
Day, man, that was a good game.
Yeah, that was
good.
That was beast, man. I got started, man.
I didn't want to say anything having to do with Ronaldo since I'm
I'll say though, man. Later, I said it before, man. I genuinely think this has been the best World Cup for about 20 years. Good. Since 98. Mm-hmm. Like, 98 was the last one I can remember, and like I said, I was only 9 there, enjoying this much.
98, that's one.
Yeah, Zizou. Fat Ronaldo.
Ronaldo with a volley or what? It was like a fucking... Oh, nah.
It was the one where he had the seizure before the game.
Yeah.
And he showed up in the final, quite himself.
Yeah.
Because he was only like 19-20 and Zidane was the fucking...
He scored two headers and then Petit finished them off in the last minute.
Lads, have you seen this fucking song? It's like the greatest football song ever. And the hook is like... Zinedine Zidane. Zinedine Zidane.
I've not.
I beg you find a clip of that for that fucking page.
We'll find it.
It's fucking phenomenal.
Right, thanks, soon. Now we'll be getting to it.
What have you been watching or listening to this week?
What have you been listening to this week and what have you been watching, boys?
Right, well.
Who's going first?
I'll jump in. Drake's new album, Scorpion.
Okay.
Gave it quite a few turnarounds. It's long, but there is some fucking belters on there.
Yeah.
Standout tracks for me, I liked Non-Stop.
Which should have been a single, I'm not sure why it wasn't.
And what was it? Was it Jennifer's Rose? Sandra's Rose.
Sandra's Rose.
Sandra's Rose. And again, which is, I was talking about this the other day, that Nice For What has about jumped into one of my top five favourite songs of all time, man. That is just... made for driving along the road, sunbelt and doing blaring it out your windies. So, that gets a thumbs up for me. You made this point, Mike. It's too long.
Very long.
I think he was doing that purely to troll Kanye.
Yeah.
Because I think I've now unsaved it from my playlist and like just kept like 8 or 9 tracks.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was catching up on the Transmit highlights from the weekend from the festival in Glasgow. And I've never been a big fan of this guy, but this creator, Jerry Cinnamon. that cunt Ken's out to get a crowd bouncing, like, like, he'd done that song Belter, and like the whole crowd was going bananas for this one guy with a guitar and a set of loop pedals. It wasn't Ed Sheeran. Do you know what I mean? He's the Castle Milk when he speaks with his accent, and like, so I listen to his album and it loses something when it's not live. It lost something with a big crowd going for it, but it was still no bad. Another thing, I started watching, oh no, the second band to watch highlights would transmit, Arctic Monkeys. Now I remember talking about their most recent album, saying I didn't know how they toured it live, and they'd done a few of the hits off of that album, and I'll tell you what, man, I was watching it and all I could think was, when it got to the crescendo of I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor, that this is one of, if not the greatest live British bands ever. Tell you, man, like, ooh, the way Turner changes it.
The
boy changes the look every single album. Every single album sounds completely different, but regardless of what fucking persona that he's thrown out there, you cannot take your eyes off of this guy, and he fucking nails it. And the crowd were going bananas, man. Every song hit, even the new ones were fucking, the crowd are singing it back at him. He had them in the palm of his hand. And I was sitting watching this on my phone, and I was still just like, oh, you're a fucker.
Yeah.
So I can't, I'm a fanboy, but that goes up there for me. Last thing, I watched a documentary on, have you ever heard of the Collar Bomb Heist?
No.
Oh, man, Evil Genius or something. Yeah, someone told me to watch that, man.
Guy, it's a story from 2003 in Pennsylvania. Guy walks into a bank with a bomb strapped to his neck, hands the cashier a note asking for money. Madness ensues, and it's just like, I've only watched the first episode, man, but I'm fucking into it, like, so.
Oh, is this the
Evil Genius on Netflix,
where someone sent him in there to do
That's the thing, they don't know if he was part of the crew or if it was all a ruse, but
wasn't there like a, there was a movie made about that, but it was a comedy, wasn't there?
I don't know.
Called like 30 Minutes or Less. It was like they ordered a pizza and they sent it up. They
was
sent
that what that was about? I've never actually seen someone with Jesse Eisenberg in it. Yes. I've seen that on my Netflix, yeah, but I've never actually watched it.
Yeah,
but
that's fucked up. They made a comedy about it.
That, like, the first episode, I was sitting in bed when I missus like watching it on Netflix, and I was just like sitting there, like, what the fuck? Mm. So yeah,
and that's like in the first 5 minutes or some shit.
Yes, man. Like, there's a bit, and you're thinking they're not going to. They showed some. Oh, fuck me. Me and my missus were sitting there, like, hands on knees, like, what the fuck? Evil Genius and all the other things I said, but someone else go.
Yeah, so I watched Ill Manners, which is a Plan B film, and then the album that came with that, I was listening to that, and I think what he did there was phenomenal. When I listened to that when it first came out, and he obviously released the album before he released the film, so what I think he's done there is phenomenal in the way that you build yourself like a mental picture, and then the film comes out, and things that he set up in the album, and they don't turn out the same way in the film, where it's like slight tweaks and that. Fantastic, like overall.
That 3 years ago, man. Dark as fuck.
Aye, but it's really kind of, it's quite like, I don't want to say like you can, but I'm looking at it from like, I'm trying to analyse it a bit more, you know, because obviously when I wasn't into the stuff I was doing now, that you know what I mean, I wasn't doing then what I'm doing now, so when I'm looking at the stuff and I'm seeing how he's put that together and how the guys that have done it have all done it, and that, I'm thinking it's a total, it's like, Ken, I hope he got the credit that he was due for that.
We do a bit of a dive, because that came out after his Strickland Banks album, eh?
Yeah,
so he built
up
a bit of a mainstream fan base with the Strickland Banks concept album, and then Ill Manners was a bit more like the original stuff, and I think
the original stuff was pretty dark, gruesome bars in it. But then I went on to the Bright album as well, which I thought, because the guys, you know, the Broken People song with Rag and Bone and Logic, and it's a great song, I've learned that on the keys, but then there's a few other, and it's kind of like, it's like my dirty little secret, like getting like re-pop tunes and that.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, there's no judgement here.
There's the guys, it's called World Gone Mad by Bastille and Campfire with Neil Young. Now the latter in what I've said there is in no way what I've just described, but the former is in fact exactly what I've just described. So yeah, but nah, there's some good, it's from that, and if you've not seen that film as well, check that film out. Bright, you probably have, because it's a Netflix special,
the Will Smith one.
Took
a bit of a pasting, man, but I thought it was alright.
The guy, as far as I've managed to surmise, it's like a modern day Lord of the Rings world.
Ken, my only problem with it was that it was a great concept idea, but I just think they didn't flesh out enough.
No,
I thought it would have been been better if they'd released like a 15-part series.
And actually delved into it because there's too much information
for an hour and a half.
That was my opinion.
I think that because they just tried to make it, because it wasn't set in present day, of course, but they tried to make it so it was kind of like, oh, this is just every day. You know, these guys look like that and they walk around and these issues, but you know, no, this is what it is. So. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was good. They got killed.
Yeah, I just thought it was a great...
Fairy lives don't matter today. I could call this. It's another runner for the name right there.
Fairy lives don't matter.
Fairy lives don't matter. Andy, you want to go?
I watched a film called Game Night.
I've seen that. So it's not bad.
Black comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking little shit.
I quite like that. Jason Bateman, though, he's quite good. He is good.
There's a couple of funny bits in it, like when he's in the office and his fucking elbow's bleeding.
He's covered the fucking dog.
And he's like, all he's doing is like trying to clean it up, but he's just making it fucking 10 times worse. I watched that, and then I listened to Drake's album. Which I commented in the group chat, there's 45 minutes, I'll never get back. And Mike replied by 45 minutes, that's only half. And then I went through my reasons why and gave it a 4 out of 10. And I was really disappointed with the Sandra's Rose track because it's a DJ Premier joint.
Mm. Yeah.
But then, as I've said to you boys before, he's not made any fucking decent in years. So I don't know why I was getting my wee hopes up for that one. Yeah. But Drake...
So an overall 4 out of 10 you're saying, right?
Dude, I'd love to give him a soft 5, but I can't. I can only give him a hard 4.
Story of my life, bro.
So after the Drake bashing, I'm going to let Mike come on and see how much he loved it.
I'm not saying I loved it.
You said you stared off into the sunrise listening to it.
Oh, I cried several times. I think it's certainly not his best body of work. It's about 8 to 9 songs too long.
Yeah.
How many songs are on it? Like 10?
20, 25. I'm aging like an asshole. Sorry, you just said it was 25.
Sorry, bro.
I'm a sucker for that Michael Jackson song. He got me right with that. I was like, I'm going to listen to this every day.
One of my favourite bars on the whole album isn't even his. It's the snippet he's put on of a Nicki Minaj live performance.
Yes, yeah.
And she like freestyles over and I was in the car, I was like, that's one of the best bars in the whole film.
It's hard. Yeah. Nonstop is good. But this is good stuff. This is the week where I'm going to cut out all the crap I don't like and just leave that on my playlist.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah,
it's decent. Did I give it a 7 or a 6?
Oh, I don't.
6 bananas. That's how we're going to rate things from now on the Monkey Sword Fight podcast.
6 bananas.
I gave it a 6 bananas. But one of those is a brown banana. So it's like it's 5.
It's like a 5.5.
It's brown. Yeah. And you'll eat it because you're hungry, but you don't really want to fuck
You don't want to look at
it. You'll put it in like some banana bread or a smoothie. I've also, because he's beefing with 6ix9ine, Juice WRLD, the guy named Juice WRLD.
Juice what?
Juice WRLD.
Oh, fuck off,
The song is called Lucid Dreams. It's pretty good. Check it out. Casanova also dropped his EP.
Oh, okay.
Very, very, very hard. If you have anger issues, don't listen to it because you'll get in trouble. Somebody from back home, he recently put on his page his album that came out last year that I know. Kind of a friend of a family. His name is Hassan Denard. Pick it up. It's called HD No Filter. So listen to that. He's pretty good. He also has another album that I heard way, way long ago, which is ridiculous. And I've asked him for it, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet. Hopefully I can find it. I think I have it on the hard drive somewhere. I'll play it for you guys. But listen to that. And Power started last night on Netflix.
Yeah, I stopped watching that around the end of season 3, man. I need to get back into that.
Yeah. So I've been watching that. And that's pretty much it for me.
Did you see what 50 Cent had said this week about Jay-Z and Nas?
What? Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, just how, yet again, Jay-Z shits all over Nas because Nas obviously gets his not-so-great album out there with Kanye and then literally a couple of days later, Jay-Z's fucking just like, bosh.
Get out of here.
I love how 50 Cent's like, I'm not going to bother releasing music much now, but I'm just going to I'm going to wind you up. I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of shit over there as well.
It was funny the way he said it too. He was just kind of like, Jay-Z must have ran into Nas somewhere. He was like, oh yeah, you got an album coming out? Yeah, when's it coming out? Oh, Saturday? Cool. Boom! Sunday. My album's coming out Sunday.
Right, well, I think that probably rounds us up for the week. Thank you again for listening. Email us at monkeyswordfightpodcast@gmail.com.
Please do.
Find us on Facebook, Monkey Sword Fight Podcast. iTunes, Monkey Sword Fight Podcast. Podbean, Monkey Sword Fight Podcast. Like, listen, review, subscribe.
All that.
I'm on Twitter at Wagwan Patrice, WAGJUANPATRICE.
I am on Twitter at _M_Dots.
I'm on Twitter at Macapella, and the show is at MSF_podcast as well.
Your man's back, right? I'm on Facebook. What? Nah, it's the Counterculture Collective on Facebook. Give that a like. Barkright Music on Instagram. Barkright Music on Snapchat, if you fancy that too. Snapchat tends to get a bit more
spicy.
Yes, we'll say spicy than Facebook and Instagram. But add that shit up, man, and you'll see the details for all the other stuff that's going on with me and all the other guys that I'm involved with. Probably these guys as well, if I'll be back, because it'd be better. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hell yeah.
Well, anytime, mate. Once again, catch us this Friday, 6th of July. We're going to share it on the Facebook pages as well, but when this episode drops tomorrow night. No, Thursday night. So when this episode drops tomorrow night.
Yeah.
On Thursday night. 6th of July, 2/3 of your favourite podcast, you will be performing at Blend In Stand Out. We might try and convince Mr. _ himself.
If I can finish my poem off that you heard earlier.
Fuck guy. Very special guest, Barkett, will be performing with the Gyro Babies.
Like
you heard, at the Green Room Perth. We'll share details for that on the Facebook page as well.
Nice.
Once again, thank you for listening. Keep listening. We love you all.
Share and tell a friend, please.
Peace.
Peace.